You're listening to Butchertown Rundown, a Racing Louisville podcast and the official podcast of the Lavender Legion.
Welcome to the Butchertown Rundown, a podcast about the only top-tier professional sports team in the great Commonwealth of Kentucky. I am Tom Benson, and back with us again from a trip halfway around the world, Caitlin Whiteside. Caitlin, welcome back to the great United States. How are we doing tonight?
Hi, Tom. I'm doing great. It's great to be back. I've been back for a little over a week, just kind of reintegrating into everyday life, getting out of vacation mode. It's going well.
Excellent. Now, when you went on vacation, you got a lot of advice, not from different people, not the least of which being racing general manager Ryan Dell, about how to overcome the time difference when you were going out. Did you get any similar advice when you came back?
Actually, the advice that Ryan Dell gave me, it was good in terms of jet lag for me coming back, because I had a little bit more jet lag on the way there. Yeah, Ryan recommended this drink. It's called Dream Water, and it's got melatonin in it, and it allows you to sleep. You drink it like 30 minutes before you want to sleep and get you back on schedule. And that was a game changer for me. I really didn't feel jet lagged coming back, so I am doing well. So thank you, Ryan, again.
That's awesome. Look at that. You know, running the team, helping folks out with jet lag. When I saw that, growing up in Oklahoma, Dream Water meant Everclear and Kool-Aid. So I was glad that what you had was much more healthy than that. Folks may notice that the hardest working woman in WOSO, Becky Morgan, not with us tonight. Becky taking a little bit of break. I think that Caitlin, we keep, she's a friend of ours over the World Cup. I think she's been averaging working 20 hours a day with her day job and with the equalizer. Hopefully she's getting a little bit of sleep.
Yeah, she deserves some time off. So, because I know she was getting up for the World Cup games at, you know, midnight, 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and that's rough on your sleep schedule. So, yeah, Becky, we hope you're resting up, and you'll return better than ever.
Better than ever. And World Cup, Caitlin, you went out there. I've got so many questions to ask. I have so much to talk about it. So let's not wait around any longer. Let's get to the starting line. What is going on with racing?
So last weekend, racing fell to the Kansas City Current. They lost 3-0 in their final Challenge Cup game. This game was a weird one. Jalen Howell was a late scratch. She was supposed to start, but I think she picked up a knock in training or in warmups, and she was replaced by our national team replacement player, Taylor Almer. And yeah, this was not racing's best game in the Challenge Cup. Fortunately, though, they did so well in the rest of the Challenge Cup games that they still finished fourth. So we do have the top four teams. They go on to the Challenge Cup semifinals, and those teams are OL Reign, Kansas City Current, North Carolina Courage, and Racing Louisville in fourth. So the semifinals are set for September the 6th. Racing will play away at Lumen Field. They will play against the Reign. And then Kansas City will take on North Carolina. And then the winners of those will go to the final, which I think it's a couple days later, maybe the 9th. That's exciting that we finally have the Challenge Cup. We're nearing the end of it, nearing the end of the season, sort of. We're in the home stretch, nearing the end of the Challenge Cup. So we'll resume regular league play on Saturday against Angel City. And that's the Fill the Fam game, which we will get to in a minute. Also, racing related is, as everyone knows, we had several players from racing go to the World Cup in Australia and New Zealand. And currently, the only player left out of the six is Alex Chidiak with Australia. They are playing in the semifinal against England next week. We wish Alex and the Matildas the best of luck.
Best of luck.
So that means that unfortunately the five other players from Racing that represented the team at the World Cup with their national teams, they should, I'm not for certain if they'll all be back on Saturday for Full the Fam. I know a few of them will. I'm not sure about all the details, but if we want to do like a short little rundown of how each team fared. So China, Wang Shuang's team didn't make it out of the group stage, unfortunately. Brazil, Ari Borges' team also did not make it out of the group stage. However,
which shocked me, which absolutely shocked me.
Yes, this has been such a weird World Cup, and some really big names didn't make it out of the group stage. But Ari and Wang both got goals. Ari got a hat trick, as you know, we all know. And then the United States, South Africa, and Nigeria all went out in the round of 16. We are still so proud of every single player at Racing and how they represented the club with their respective national teams. And we're scoring goals left and right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they're just really showing that, you know, the best players play here in Louisville, Kentucky. So yeah, that's kind of what's been going on World Cup wise, racing wise.
Absolutely. I was very excited to see how well all the Racing players did in the World Cup. By the nature of the tournament, you have some shock losses. You have some teams that don't go as far. That's the beauty of it. That's the terror or the trauma of it. It was a great tournament. I'm glad that we've got everybody back. Going back to that Kansas City game, whenever you've got an international break and you have a lot of players missing, you think, well, it could go great and we could have all of our players that are on the bench step up and show that they deserve to get starting minutes, or it can go the other way and the team can look disjointed and you have some players that seem as though they're just not gelling like they would hope to. That's what happened in Kansas City. We're still moving on. I think that if that was a must win, we probably see Jay Howell on the bench. I like to think in my brain, Caitlin, I like to think that when Kansas City was scoring those late goals, that Jay Howell was on the bench just grinding her teeth saying, all right, we'll see you again. We'll see you again, Curran. So just filing that away for the next time we play.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. She was probably saying what a lot of us were thinking was, which is, play us at full strength, Casey, and then we'll talk.
We'll talk to then. Well, we've got a lot to get to, but before we go any further than that, Caitlin, on August 27th, our beloved Racing Louisville Football Club will be playing at the New York, New Jersey Gotham Football Club on the road at Gotham. If you are not planning on going all the way up to New York to watch that game, you know where you should go.
Yeah, I do, actually. You should go to Pregame Coffee.
Pregame Coffee right here in Louisville on Frankfort Avenue. There will be a Lavender Legion watch party at Pregame during this game on Sunday, the 27th. The game's at 5:30. Pregame is such a great place. You can, if you want to have a beer, you're like Tom, you think, have a beer with the game, they got beers there. If you're like Caitlin, you want to have a cup of coffee, great coffee there. It is a Lavender Legion sponsored event, but you don't need to be a member of the Lavender Legion to go. You just need to be a Racing fan. Go have fun, watch a game with other Racing fans. It's going to be a fantastic time, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Pregame, they're really big supporters of Louisville soccer, men's and women's. So yeah, we're really excited that they are helping us host this event.
That's right. No need to go and go to your local bar, go to your local Chili's. Hey, do you have Paramount Plus? Is there a way? Oh, no, someone else is watching a preseason. No, don't mess with any of that. Come where Racing is the only game that matters. Come to Pregame. Parking is on street. It's easy to get to. People are friendly. Lavender Legion, if you are a member of the Lavender Legion, you are welcome. If you are not a member of the Lavender Legion, you are more than welcome, because we would love to come and see you on August 27th, Sunday, August the 27th, 5:30, Caitlin, what else is there to do on Sunday? If it's 5:30 on Sunday, you know what you're doing. You're thinking, oh man, what do I need to do next week with Monday? You're just getting close to those Sunday scaries. Put those Sunday scaries off another couple hours. Go watch racing and finish the weekend strong with some other racing fans. It's going to be a really fun time.
Absolutely. And Tom, I think we have something else that we want to plug during this commercial break. And that is something that I mentioned earlier. It's our Fill the Fam game next weekend.
It is next weekend on Saturday, August the 19th. Oh, Saturday night. Angel City Football Club coming to the unfriendly confines of Lynn Family Stadium. We are looking to have, so far, more tickets sold for this game than any other racing game this season. So if you are, you may be living in Cincinnati right now and you think, ah, Tom, I don't know if I can make it down to the pregame watch party. Maybe you're in Eastern Kentucky. Maybe you're in Nashville. Come up to Fill the Fam. It looks like it's going to be a pretty special night. Going to have some World Cup players back. And as we're about to start talking about, Caitlin, the home stretch of the season is just getting going. So let's get a little momentum, maybe get 3 points here.
Yeah, I think the team put out a social media post that said they'd sold 6,000 something tickets so far.
Yep.
Guys, I need that to be 10,000. I need that to go past 10,000. We got to get everybody that we possibly can to get eyes on these players because they deserve it. So invite somebody who's never been to a game before. Invite people that have been to a game before. It's just this team is too exciting to not fill that stadium up. So everybody come on out next weekend.
If you are looking for a ticket deal, there are probably ticket deals to be out that are out there. I think I've seen $5.02 a general admission ticket that are out there. Come on down. It will be a fun time. We're looking forward to it. The bills have been paid. The work has been done. And now, to our first prime cut, where has the time gone? We are kind of coming into the home stretch of the season.
I know. I was just looking at it, and I think we only have 4 home games left. And when did that happen? I don't know. It's wild. But this is the most important part of the season, I would argue, is this home stretch. And there's still plenty of soccer to be played and plenty of work to be done.
Well, as we talk right now, racing is in 7th place with 19 points, 2 behind the San Diego Wave. The Washington Spirit has 24. Courage leading the table with 26 points. So racing, even though we feel that we left a few points on the field early in the season, every goal is attainable right now. Everything is in front of them as we go to these last few games of the season. And Caitlin, what does racing need to do to bridge the gap and make it into the playoffs? And I'll start by saying that racing is at 19 points, Orlando at 19 points. We got them in goal difference. So we're in 7th place, but tied for 7th, but have it with goal difference. Houston Dash, 18 points. Angel City, 17 points. Chicago Red Stars, 16 points. I mean, it is
tight.
It is tight. It is absolutely tight. So what does racing need to do to jump San Diego and get into the playoff picture?
Well, this is going to sound maybe a little bit like an oversimplification, but we have to score goals. They have to score goals and they have to get results because the only thing that has us ahead of Orlando is what you said. We're beating them on goal differential. So we need those goals to come fast and furious. So we need the players from the World Cup to come back, you know, riled up and ready to go and score some goals for us. I mean, it's really that simple. We figured out our defense, I like to think.
Mm-hmm.
Now we need to figure out our goal scoring. However that happens, that's what we need to do.
What do you think as far as the lineup? Are you tinkering with it? Because I agree. I think that we feel pretty good that on most nights, our defense will keep us in the game. It's all about putting the ball in the back of the net for racing. I see it both ways. On the one hand, I say this team has lacked chemistry just for lack of time on the field together. Why would you start swapping players around when we're hitting the crucial part of the season? I would also look on the other side and say, well, what we have been doing hadn't been working all that great, and now it's time to mix things up because things are a bit more desperate. What side of the fence would you land on?
I'm probably a little bit more in the conservative approach, which is what you said. If we're going to build chemistry, and we've been building that, then I don't know if we should tinker with it too much. But honestly, it's been so long since we've had a full squad here. I think the last time was the Father's Day game.
Which was a nice win over Gotham.
Exactly. So I think, you know, we did lose a little bit of that time to build chemistry with the World Cup absences. And, you know, we're so proud of all those players, and I wouldn't change the fact that they got to go for the World.
Absolutely. No, that's big time soccer. You lose players to international duty.
Yeah, exactly. But I think as soon as they get back into training this week, and again, I'm not sure exactly who's going to be back and who isn't, I think they need to start right back up where they left it, because they left it in a good spot, I thought. So yeah, I think we just need to keep building on that chemistry and kind of hope that these World Cup players come back revitalized, and also that, you know, the players that were still here, they've also built some chemistry as well. While the World Cup players were gone. So hopefully they can kind of bridge those two things together and put together some results.
What I wonder, as I think about the attack, and I'm with you, I don't know that you mess with the midfield, even if we think eventually there's fun conversations to be had. It's like, maybe we move Ari up. That's a lot of fun being a sports fan, kind of talking about that. I don't think that you mess with the midfield now. So really, in my mind, we're talking about the front three. And it is a cliche in sports to talk about good problems. Oh, it's a good problem that you have so many good players in one spot. And I don't know that I would put this down to a good problem, even though some could say it is the fact that of the front three that have been getting regular minutes, in my mind, the two players that are consistently creating the most chances play the same position. And that's Paige Monahan and Tembi Kotwana. And Tembi was on fire in the World Cup. Paige has been on fire here on domestic soil. I don't know how you take one of them off the field. I think the other side, we've tried Wong there. Wong has looked great at times. Wong has also kind of disappeared at times. We love Wong Shuang, but sometimes she would come off in the 70th minute and you had forgotten that she's there. You know, we need goal scoring chances coming from that right side. Paige Monahan got some minutes in there in the Challenge Cup. She did some things, but I don't know that she did. I don't know that she really, after a game, was somebody that you watched and said, oh, we need to find a way. We need to get a crowbar and a chisel to find a way to get her into the lineup. I'm hopeful, and I have my fingers crossed, that we can start getting starters' minutes out of Nadia Nadim. That's somebody that even if she is not athletically what, you know, Kirsten Davis is, mentally she's just so good. She's just a killer in front of goal. The way that she just always finds a way to get into dangerous spaces, and she always finds a way to get a chance off. And that's what we've been needing. And I'm not sure that, to your point earlier, I don't know that it's where you can say, oh, well, move Paige or Tembi to the other side so they can both, that's where they play. They go, they cut in off their left foot and they're dynamic, you know, they run down the side and no one can catch up or no one can keep up with them. I wonder what the coaching conversations are right now about who starts to get these minutes.
Right. I'm with you. I would love to see Nadia get more than, you know, what's she been getting, like
30, 35 minutes?
I would love to see her back at full fitness and ready to go. I don't want them to push her too much.
Yeah.
On the other hand. So I think you're right. When she gets into the groove, she's been consistently reliable for us. I don't think she's hit that groove yet, but hey, maybe this latter half of the season is the perfect time to. And as for the Paige and Tembi quote unquote problem, you're right. That's a hard problem to kind of address, because I thought she's been doing well.
She's been playing great. And at the beginning of the season, you saw flashes.
Mm-hmm.
But over the last couple of months, she has really grown into the position in the way that you see a lot of players, where she is more comfortable here in the environment. She knows what's expected, and she's able to be a better worker. She's always had flashes. She's always had the athleticism. She's always had those elements of her game that made her dangerous. You know what? She moved from New York to Louisville, Kentucky. She got all new coworkers, all new training environment, doesn't know where to go get milk, you know. Guess what? But this time of year, once she figured out where Kroger is, she started scoring goals. Yeah. And she's really been coming on. And I love her mindset. I love the way that she attacks. And I love that she's not afraid to take a chance.
Mm-hmm. I think if we're talking about, you know, do we play Paige or do we play Tembi? I think it depends on the opponent and mm-hmm. what we need out of them. You know, Tembi can really provide a spark.
Yeah, yeah, she can.
If we need one. Paige is she's a good playmaker. Mm. And so is Tembi. You know, she's great at assists and
yes.
and, you know, feeding balls to players. So yeah, they're great wingers in their own right. And I think you're right. That's going to be a tough decision that Kim's going to have to make. But I think it really is going to depend on the circumstances and the opponent, really.
And really, you look at it glass half full. Let's put ourselves in Coach Kim's mind. It's 30 minutes left. This season's been going on for 6 months. Players are tired. Players are worn out. They're not 100% fitness. This game needs to get a goal. Who do you want to bring in off the bench? Because that's where I can say, I look at it and say, well, it's not a problem if you use them both. Mm-hmm. And you say, and I don't know, because Tembi has a gear that is just almost unmatched in professional soccer. When mm-hmm. if she gets space and gets the ball at her feet, she's almost unstoppable as far as just from a speed quickness standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Paige has been doing it. Paige has been scoring goals. So which one do you think provides that? And I don't know. It's kind of a fun question to ask, because I don't think that it's a criticism of either player. Mm-hmm. It's to say, when we are away at Chicago on September 30th, we need a goal, season on the line. Who do you want to bring in with 30 minutes left against a tired, beat up Red Stars team? I don't know the answer to that, because they're both great options, as long as that's the way you're coaching it. That's the way you're looking at it, because I don't think you can go wrong in either situation. I think the mm-hmm. only wrong answer is don't make a sub until the 85th minute. For real, though.
If we're losing, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. I think you can't really go wrong with either of those options.
I feel like we should talk more about the midfield and the defense than maybe we are, even though they've been rock solid, because this is a team that is going to, if you want to score goals, one way, obviously, you know, get more dynamic in your front three, which we've talked about. Another way is get Carson Pickett and Lo Malay forward.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're putting Abby and either Lester or Ellie, you know, back to be, I don't want to say on an island, but potentially overmatched with numbers on a counterattack.
I feel like once we get our starting midfield back, they're going to kind of bridge the gap between that. Because we, at this last game against Kansas City, we didn't have any midfield starters. Any of our usual starters since Jalen was out, that's all players that don't usually start for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have, I mean, that is the part of the field that took the biggest hit during the World Cup was our midfield. We just got decimated there. But, I mean, that gave our depth some chance to shine, and we do have depth.
Mm-hmm.
We're so lucky to have depth like that. But I think once we get Sav back, once we get Ari back, Wong even, mm-hmm. I think that's going to kind of bridge some of the gaps that I think we've been noticing since the World Cup players have been gone. So these are all good problems. We have so many good players, and it's just, you know, what do you do with them, mm-hmm. right? Where do you put them? How do you best utilize them?
It's been a common discussion on this podcast talking about subs and we all kind of have our own preference on how they should be used and whether we think that the club is using those subs correctly. One thing that I am thinking, and Whiteside, I want you to tell me yes, Benson, or no, Tom, don't show up to this podcast drunk again because you say stupid things. And that is that as I look at the remaining schedule, the ideal results, and this look like, follow me through with this analogy, mm-hmm. because the results go like this. The best result is a win, obviously. The next best result is a loss. And the third best result is a draw. And the reason I say that is, do I want to lose rather than draw? No, that not at all. But this team needs to get 3 points. The teams below us are going to need to get 3 points. And if we are sitting on a draw at the 85th minute, this team needs to be aggressive with their subs, with their tactics, to get 3 points, even if that opens up the potential of a loss at the end. If it is the 87th minute and we're tied 1-1, and we've got a corner kick, bring up Katie Lund, put her in the box.
Oh.
Send Lomelay back to midfield. She can stop any sort of a counterattack. Tell me where my fault is, because I look at it, Caitlin, and this team needs wins. If you want to get, and I'm not talking about the Challenge Cup. I mean, that's a separate, like, we need to beat OL Reign to move forward. But we've got, what did we say here? We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games left by my normal high math. We're 2 points down. So if we get 2 draws in there, what, like I said, 1 win gets us in 6th place, 2 draws don't. My math is horrible. Maybe I am embarrassing my high school and my college. But I say that we need to get aggressive with our tactics to get wins, even if it leaves us open defensively. We got the draws we needed at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, those were games we should have won. We got draws. Well, now we need to win games. You've been giving me some serious rolled eyes. I know. I understand that. I know I deserve
But okay. So you're saying go big or go home?
Saying that I don't see us getting to a top 6 place if we don't go big.
Okay. No, I don't know if I'm sending Katie up 87th minute. Maybe 97th minute of our very last game or something.
Okay.
But in terms of being aggressive, I guess we don't want to get desperate. We don't want to play... There's playing good desperate, you know you have to win, and then there's bad desperate where...
Good point. Good
sloppy
point.
And it's just not... It's not good soccer to watch. We need to play good desperate. We need to be smart about it. I think our differences lie in how aggressive do we want to be. You are like at this end of the spectrum, and I'm like maybe towards the middle and not quite there yet. Right? I'm trying to think of like a less extreme example of like sending Katie up, right? So like send what? Like send... Did you say send Lowe up or like send Carson up?
Well, I said if you said... I mean, I don't know. They usually send... just about everybody except Katie up on the corner kicks. They usually all have, I think mm-hmm. Lowe is back in midfield for defense, but most of the time they send everybody
but
up.
But who are we subbing on to be this game changer, make this difference?
That's a good point.
Because then you got to take somebody off. Do we have the depth there and the player that can really change the game for us? Like that we can count on?
That's a good
question.
I just
don't know, because I like to think that our strongest players, and that's not to say this is nothing against the depth players that we have
that
don't usually start, but like our best players should be on the field
mm-hmm.
and play for... they should be able to play for 90 minutes. That's their jobs. Yep. Right? That's not to say people don't get tired and we need to switch things up tactically, but like I think maybe here's something we could do to be more aggressive is like, but I don't know if Kim will do this, is be a little bit more flexible tactically. You know, mm-hmm. if you know, the high press is, I think we've got that down. But if we maybe need to go into like a 3-back and send some more people up, try that. I don't know. That's something.
That's pretty aggressive.
That's something at least. I do not know if Kim would be down for that. But it's something that, you know, if we get desperate enough, we could try.
That's a good point. And you bring up an excellent point that when we talk about roster depth, and I'm looking through our roster right now. If we are up a goal, there are five or six players that I feel really good can come in and shut them down. Even players that we've looked at in the past and said, like, Rebecca Holloway, put her in midfield. She's solid, professional foul, fresh legs, good. Julia Lester, Ellie Zanetta, good players that you can put in with fresh legs, and they are not going to get beat. Last, you know, you've got Tembi or Page coming in. Parker Goins comes in, works hard. Chenna Canoe, Amina Ekic, players that can come in and work hard defensively. Jordan Baggett, solid, solid player. Kayla Fisher, solid, solid player. If we've got a 1-0 lead, or if we've got a one goal lead, I feel really, really good that we have the bodies, the technical ability to see it through to a win. Sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. It's the toughest league in the world. But if we're chasing, I don't know that I see somebody that I feel great. Maybe Nadia.
Yeah.
But we're hoping that Nadia is going to be starting. But it'd be nice if Uchenna Canoe can, you know, maybe she got a little bit more confidence in the World Cup and can come in and be a little more decisive. There's just probably not as many options as we'd like on the bench if we are chasing a goal late. Which is why I look at it and say, tactically, if you don't feel great about the personnel, what are some other things that you can do to alter the game in your favor to get that goal to either level it or take the lead?
It's tough decision. I'm glad we're not the coaches, Tom. I don't think that would go over well.
I am about half the height of Coach Kim. If I was up next to him, people would think that I was his very handsome young son.
If we were the coaches, we would spend the entire game arguing back and forth like this, being like, oh, what about this? What if we do this? And then like 90 minutes will have passed. So it's just better for everyone involved.
That's right. If we were the coaches, then we could look forward to listening to a whole season's worth of Vamos Morados and Lavender Louisville podcasts about Fire, Benson, and Whiteside.
Absolutely.
So I want to talk. So I just mentioned about Uchenna at the World Cup, hopefully getting a little confidence back. And I'd like to talk, Kaylin, because you were at the World Cup. Tell us, how was it?
It was everything I was hoping it would be. It's kind of a bucket list trip for me as someone who's followed soccer for many, many years. And yeah, I got to watch professional soccer, the best athletes in the world in a beautiful country. New Zealand is beautiful. It's as lush and green and beautiful as it looks like in the movies. And I got to do so many cool things in addition to the soccer itself. And the U.S. didn't perform as well as, you know, I think we all would have hoped. However, I did get to see our very own Savannah DeMello start in two World Cup games.
And oh, my gosh. Wipe the tear from an eye.
That meant the most to me. Not, you know, being at the World Cup, fine. But, like, seeing Sav's name up on the board and seeing, you know, number 9 Savannah DeMello and having that get announced. I mean, what more could you ask for? I just felt really, really proud to be a Racing fan and to have her representing the team and the city.
So many questions. That was so cool. You also were, once again, a television superstar. Very cool that to see you angry at a call, but it ended up going the U.S.'s way.
Yeah, that was, I mean, they tried to call the goal offside, and it wasn't offside. And so I was just, you know, showing with my face how I felt about that call. And there happened to be a camera there, and I got like a barrage of text messages and screenshots from people saying, "You're on TV." And I was like, "I'm watching the game right now, guys. Thank you." But I will respond to these later. But yeah, that was really cool.
So what's one thing you just told us about Savannah, so I won't ask on the soccer side, but tell us something about New Zealand that you enjoyed and or surprised you.
I don't know if this surprised me, because I had read somewhere about it, but it's a nice little fact that I learned. There are more sheep than people in New Zealand. The ratio of sheep to people is, I don't know if it's 2 to 1. I don't know what it is, but there's a whole lot of sheep in New Zealand is what I'm getting at, people. So I did so many cool things and so many things that I enjoyed. I got to go to Hobbiton, which is the movie set where they shot Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit films. And it was beautiful and it was just so cool. And I got to go to Waiheke Island. I got to take a ferry out there. It's called Wine Island. There are a bunch of wineries on it. We kind of mistimed it. And we tried to go on the day of the US-Portugal game. And you need a whole day in Wine Island. We only had like 3 hours. So we only got to go to one winery, but it was beautiful. I got lots of amazing pictures. And
what winery was it?
It's called Mudbrick. And yeah, it was a blast. I mean, I just did so many cool things. People ask me, you know, how was it? And I don't even know how to begin to answer because it was just so cool. I'd love to go back. If you ever get a chance to go to New Zealand, take that chance because it's a beautiful country. Really friendly people, helpful people. And yeah, I had a great time.
Thanks. I'm glad that you went to a winery. My wife, Lisa, her go-to is a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. You say, which one? Doesn't matter. If I buy one of those, it's either been a great day at work or a horrible day at work. But they do a great job. Tell me about I will bring it back locally here. When you were out talking with other international fans, you see them in the cafes, you're walking into the stadium, walking out of the stadium, or even American fans. Did people know who racing was? Was there, you know, what sort of perception was there about our local club?
So the first half of my trip was actually, it was planned and organized by a tour group that was associated with the Equalizer, which our beloved Becky Morgan writes for. And Jeff Kasouf was actually on the trip with us as well. He joined up with us, yeah, for part of it. So shout out to Jeff. Got to meet and chat with him quite a bit. And so there were in this tour group that we were on, there were, you know, everybody's a soccer fan, right? Some people are more fans of, you know, just the US team in general, but then everybody kind of had, you know, varying degrees of cheering for their local team or a team that they liked. So I met some cool people that were, I met a Portland Thorns supporter, and then I met some other people. They were Gotham fans. And so the general consensus about racing was, you know, I think they were excited about Sav, you know, there was excitement about Sav, but then every time, you know, a racing player would score, you know, like Ari getting her hat trick, or Uchenna scoring, or Tembi getting an assist, they would, you know, my friends that I met on the trip would, they would be like, oh, I bet Caitlin was happy about that. And I was like, you're damn right I was. You know, I just knew and were aware of the club. And, you know, I think I tried to represent us well, the Lavender Legion well, and, you know, sing the praises of Louisville and racing. And yeah, I also actually, I think I maybe texted or sent this in the Slack, but I met someone at one of the fan fests and they were a racing fan. They had a hat on, a beanie or something, and it had racing on it. And I just stopped them and I was like, you have a racing hat on. Like, and we got to talking and they live, you know, 10 minutes from me or something. It was bizarre. I was in Wellington, New Zealand and just talking about Louisville things and racing things with this person. So that was cool. The WOSO world is very small. You find out, you know, go to these things and it was a very cool experience.
That sounds cool. I feel like I am living vicariously through your awesome trip. That's fantastic. And the U.S. team didn't do as well as we would have liked. I have not been a fan from a longtime fan. So I would say that this World Cup kind of reminded me of, you know, the last few Olympics in basketball, in that in 1990, we sent the Americans, we sent the Dream Team to Spain. We sent all of our best players, and they won every game 100-0. The Dream Team, I mean, it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And everywhere around the world, all those little kids were like, oh, that's how you play basketball. And you know what? They've grown up. The last three NBA MVPs have been born outside of this country. The game grew. People saw, people invested in basketball. And now the United States doesn't experience the same level of dominance in basketball because, you know, folks at the other part of the world has caught up. They've invested and have seen what the game can look like. And I think that the same thing's happening with women's soccer, that after the 99ers, after a bunch of consecutive World Cups, that the rest of the world has seen, oh, this is a pretty awesome sport. Let's invest in our players. You've got players, you know, you've got, and not to get all cliche and sappy, but you got little girls that maybe 50 years ago didn't realize that they had an opportunity. Well, now they see that they do. And they've been playing, and it's tough to lose, but it's tough not to go forward. I like the young kids that we've got. I like the youth on this one. I joked in a text message to you and Becky that after Brazil went out, because I was like researching sports betting. I was like, well, here's the deal. I'm going to put $20 on Brazil to go all the way. Not that I didn't think that the United States would do it, but I like they got Caroline, they got Ari, like they've got, it was an all-star team, and then they didn't make it past the group. And I thought, well, the only thing betting on WOSO is only slightly less efficient than setting your money on fire. And now I'm thinking like, but that's true. But also I think that we're going to run the table next World Cup, not going to lose a game. Probably not true, but
I sure hope so. But, but no, I think it is, a combination of the things that you mentioned. You know, the rest of the world is catching up. These federations, some of them, many of them still are not properly compensating their players or funding their teams. But we're seeing that when you do properly fund your team, I mean, look what can happen, you know? And so, yeah, the rest of the world is catching up, and no, the U.S. is not stomping all over people anymore, but this is also, it's the cycle of things. So I feel like lots of people maybe who got into the World Cup 2015, 2019, when things were really good and at the height of everything, they don't know or don't remember that the U.S. went 16 years without winning a World Cup. So they won in 99. They did not win again until 2015. I'm not saying it's going to be another 16 years, but I'm saying that this is not unprecedented. So I don't think the sky is falling. I don't think we need to panic. This is a good thing for the sport, ultimately. Yeah. You know, it's unfortunate. It sucks in the short term. In the long term, if you want to be the best, you have to beat the best, right? Isn't that what they say? So the U.S.
And by they, I think you were referring to professional wrestling fans, but go ahead.
but you see what I'm saying? Like the U.S., it's more fun if we beat the best teams in the world. It's not as fun if we stomp all over them. I mean, maybe for some people, but I want to know that it's we are playing the best and being the best that we can be. And I think, you know, we get a coaching change in here. We get a coach who understands tactics better or knows how to utilize these players better. I think this is just a small bump in the road. So everybody take a deep breath. It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay. Also, Jay Howell's going to be on the next national team. So
100% or we riot.
Or we riot. Caitlin, I am very excited to hear what you have for us because it is time for the mint mix. Becky and I did our best to hold up while you were gone. I will say that out of the whole year, probably my favorite moment thus far has been when I made Becky laugh, when I said Fist City as a Mint Mix song. But still, nothing is a substitute for Caitlin, your Mint Mix suggestions. What have you got for us this week?
So as we talked about, you know, Racing lost 3-0 to Kansas City. Wasn't a great game. Taylor Almer went out on a red. So two yellows equal to red. We had to play down a player for the entire second half. Things kind of started to unravel. Overall, it was a bad game. It was a bad day. So the first song I have is Bad Day by Daniel Powder. We all know how it goes. You had a bad day, taking one down, sing a sad song just to turn it around, blah, blah, blah. You know, sometimes we have those days. Racing's not immune to it. It's fine. So after that, I kind of started to go a little bit more positive with my choices. So my next song, Right Back Where We Started From by Maxine Nightingale. Mm. So it's, we gotta get right back to where we started from. So Racing needs to get back to what they do best, which is building that chemistry. Let's get our midfield back. Let's get our midfield starters back and just pick right back up where we started from, where we were before everybody left. And then the last song I have is Welcome Back by John Sebastian. This is the title song for the show Welcome Back, Kotter. If anyone's ever heard of that or seen it, I haven't even seen it, but I know this song. That is for all of our players that were gone at the World Cup. We want to welcome them back at Fill the Fam on Saturday.
Those three choices are fantastic. The one that I would like to point out is Welcome Back by John Sebastian, because that was actually my Mint Mix suggestion. Great minds.
Great think minds.
Alike. Great yes. minds think alike. I was only thing I would add is that is a shout out to our baby boomer listeners that baby boomers and or nostalgia TV yes. listeners, because I also loved that song and I have seen that show and it is campy but also very sweet. So three fantastic Mint Mix additions. Three great songs, but also I always love when we fight the AI. All right. Caitlin, 3 points to finish it up this week. And what I would like to talk about is three players, and we'll go real quick, three players that you think and that I think need to really show up and show out for Racing to make it into the playoffs. I'm going to start with Eli Picciomza, and I'm going to give a slash Eli Picciomza slash Julia Lester, whoever is standing next to Abby Erceg on the back line. We cannot have any mistakes. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to say, don't make any mistakes, play perfectly. I don't know how realistic that is. What I have found in this league is that when you make a mistake, good teams will score off of it. You can make a mistake and it doesn't always cost you, but coming into these last few games, we cannot make mistakes. We need to play almost perfectly. Along those lines, Katie Lund. Katie has all the physical gifts in the world. She plays fantastic, and we have seen her make saves that you think, wow, you have defied gravity and the limits of human anatomy. We've also seen moments where Katie has made some mental errors, and maybe she just kind of loses track of the game or just loses being dialed in, which, not to go too far off, but I don't know how you can be a goalie. I mean, with my phone, with whatever, I've got about 2 minutes of attention span at any given time. Like, how are you just like standing there, especially when the game's on the other half of the field? Mm-hmm. That being said, Katie, that is what we need you to do is stay dialed in. We need clean sheet Katie and the Abby Erceg four to play flawless for the rest of the season. I don't think that Racing is out of it by any stretch. Mm-hmm. They put together two or three wins, which is something that is hard to do in this league. They have their destiny in their own hands. But to go forward, they need clean sheet Katie and the Abby Erceg four. They need those players playing fantastic. And lastly, Savannah DeMello has defined herself as a superstar in this league. She needs to put this team on her back She doesn't need to do it for all five, or she doesn't need to put it for every game of the season, but she's going to need to put this team on her back for large stretches of it, drawing fouls, being engaged, scoring goals. She has the talent. What is going to be asked of her now is going to be a new challenge for her. She's never been professionally called on to be the engine of a team that is making a playoff push. Mm-hmm. If this team is going to go farther than they have ever gone before, Sav DeMello needs to be a big part of it.
Those are all great choices and all, you know, very important players. And for me, my three players are Ari, Jalen, and Nadia. So Ari, I think she, along with Sav that you mentioned, and Jalen, they need to just be menaces in the midfield. Jalen and Ari specifically. And I mean, her absence last weekend proved how important she is to the team.
Yeah, you're right.
Jalen. And we need her to be at like level 1,000, Jalen. Mm-hmm. And we need her and Ari and Sav to all work together and just show up and just really just keep that midfield strong, block passes, don't let anything through, don't let it through the defense, right? Mm-hmm. And then we need Sav and Ari to kind of be, well, Jalen too, to be playmakers and get the offense started for us. So Ari and Jalen, yeah, I did kind of steal Sav from you, but you already said that. So Ari and Jalen in the midfield. And then Nadia, I would love, and I really need Nadia. And I think of the forwards that we have, she is one that if she gets going, she can be clutch for us and get us goals when we need it. Yeah, I think those three players are going to be crucial to the team's success going forward.
Three excellent players. And oh my gosh, if Nadia starts scoring goals.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. It's, you'd be like, Tom, are those tears of happiness? Are those tears of relief? It doesn't matter.
No. Nope.
Doesn't matter. Caitlin, it is so good to have you back. Welcome back to the sweet breath of freedom here in the United States as opposed to New Zealand, right? But it was great, and looking forward to the hardest working woman in WOSO getting a little bit of sleep and joining us for a future episode of Butchertown Rundown. Caitlin, this was fun. Let's do it again.
Go Big Perp.
Go Big Perp.